Today, Shir's a Masechta Gittin on Daf Lamed. We will begin three lines from the top of the Yamed at the two dots in the middle of the line with the words, Hahu de Omar. The Gemara will now discuss a case where a person gave a get on a t'nai, on a condition, and due to an onus, due to circumstances beyond his control, he fulfilled the t'nai. And the question is whether this get is valid and takes effect in this situation or not. Begins the Gemara. Hahu de Omar, there was this person who said, E loy asina atlos in yoimen, if I do not come back up to 30 days, if 30 days pass and I'm not back, la have a get, gito, then this get that I'm giving to my wife should be a good get. So he's giving the get on a condition that he does not return within 30 days. Also, he came on the 30th day. He made the deadline. The only problem was that the town where he lived in was on the other side of the river. Uposka Mivra, the river crossing was in the way, was in the middle, because he was separated because of the river. There was a ferry boat that took people back and forth, but the day that he came, which was the 30th day, the boat was on the other side of the river, by the town, and he had no way of getting across the river. Omar Lahu, so he said to witnesses, and perhaps he shouted it out to the other side of the river, Chazud Asoi, see that I have come, see I have come. What he meant to say with this is that I have done everything within my power, everything within my control to be back, but now it's beyond my control. It's circumstances beyond my control. I'm an oinus. The question is this considered that he fulfilled the condition of not coming, and therefore it will be a good get? Do we say, as Rashi explains, this touches on the sugya at the beginning of Ksubas Daf Beis Amid Beis, Daf Gimel Amid Aleph, there is a question whether yesh oinus begitten or ain oinus begitten. Do I say that this is not considered an oinus? And the Gemara there in Ksubas gives a reason why we will not say that oinus is a mitigating factor. Ain oinus begitten. And the bottom line is, you didn't come home. And therefore, you fulfilled the time. Therefore, it will be a good get. Or do we say, yesh oinus begitten, that it was beyond your control, you were an oinus, and by gitten we do say the concept of oinus, and therefore it is not considered that you willingly fulfilled the t'nai. It's not considered that you fulfilled the condition, and therefore it will not be a good get. Omar Shmuel, when this question came to Shmuel, Shmuel Paskin, loy shmei masya, that this is not considered coming home, and we say, ain oinus begit. Now Rashi actually gives two pshatim. Either that this sugi will be going according to the Mandi Omar, that ain oinus b'tnai by gittin. Inami, says Rashi, it could be going according to Mandi Omar, yesh oinus b'gittin. But even he will be moited that in this case, we will say ain oinus b'gittin, and therefore it is a good get. Why? Because since it is a frequent happening that there is not a boat available on the day that you come, the boat is going to be on the other side of the river, and you should have anticipated this. Therefore, had you wanted to take this fact into account, you would have said, providing that there's a boat available, if I still don't come, then it should be a get. You didn't mention anything about the boat. Therefore, you indicated at the time that you gave the get al tznai that if in fact there is no boat, that will be considered as if you didn't come and you have fulfilled it tonight. And therefore, even though normally we would paskin, according to this Mandi Omar, yesh oinus begitten, by here, where it is a milsud shchicha, and he should have anticipated that this might have happened, that there's no boat, it's considered that he gave it, regardless whether there'll be a boat or not, he has to make it home, he didn't make it home, it is a good get. Loy shmai masyo. It is not considered that he made it to the other side. And now the Gemara brings another story. Hahu de Omar Lahu. There was a person who said, Eloi feis nalo atlos in yoyim, and if I will not be able to make up, if I will not be able to mollify, to appease my wife up till 30 days, that's my deadline, then if she's still not appeased, lehavi gita, then the get, it should be a good get. He's again giving a get on a tnai. Ozel pais of Eloi feis, he went, as Rashi explained, he spoke to her, he sent his friends to speak to her, nothing worked. She was not appeased. Amar Rabbi Yosef, when Rabbi Yosef was approached with this situation, he said, "Mi Yoev lo tarkiva de dinrei v'loi ifaisa." Did he then try to give her a tarkiva de dinrei, which is three kavim? Did he give her a vessel which contains three kavim? And in that vessel, there would be three kavim of gold dinorim, which is a tremendous amount of money. Did he go to that extreme, to that extent, to try to mollify her? He didn't go to that extent. And therefore, since he didn't go to that extent, it's considered that he fulfilled the tanai, as the Gemara is going to explain, even though he is not a man of means, and it's impossible for him to put so much money together. L'chayra, this is considered an oinus. It's beyond his control. Yet we hold ein oinus begitten. And therefore, he has fulfilled the tanai, and therefore, it is a good get. Now, Tosfos points out that it would seem from our Gemara that if somehow or other he was able to get this amount of money together, and he gave it to her, and yet she wasn't appeased, then we would say that he has not fulfilled the tnai, and it will not be a good get. And why not? Bottom line, the tnai was that it's a get if she's not appeased. And in fact, he gave her all this money and she's still not appeased. Why should the din be? It's not a good get. It should be a get because the tnai was fulfilled that she wasn't appeased. That's the top Tosfos question. The Ramaskal Miyov La Tarkvara Dinri answers Tosfos that what he means to say is, did I do a Dover Gadol? Did I go to the nth degree? Did I do the maximum possible to try to appease her, even giving her a Tarkvara Dinri? So if he didn't try to give her this Tarkvara Dinri, then we say, ein oinus begitten, and the get is a good get. But if he tried to this maximum degree, but it didn't work, but there we say that he was not over on his tnai. He didn't make the tnai come into realization. The tnai was, if I don't go to the maximum, then it's a good get. In fact, he went to the maximum. The fact that she wasn't mollified, that's not what he meant to say. He meant to say, I have to try. Even that might not work. So here, if he gave the Tarkvara Dinri, he did try, and therefore, the get's condition was not fulfilled, because he said it would only be a get if he wouldn't try, and he did try, and therefore, in that case, it will not be a get. But in a case where he didn't give the Tarkvara Dinri, then we say the get was on a tnai which was fulfilled, and it is a good get. Ikad the Amri, some say on Rabbi Yosef, midi Tarkvara Dinri boilu meisav la. Does he have to go to such an extreme? That's beyond his control. All he has to do is do the normal thing, to try to speak to her and calm her down and appease her, send friends to try to appease her. That's the normal, which is within his control. But to give her a Tarkvara Dinri is beyond his control. That is an oinus. And according to this Mandi Yomar, yesh oinus begitten. And therefore, again, it's not considered that I fulfilled the tnai, and the get will not be a get. And that's how the Gemara explains the nafgamina between the first Lashon and the Ikad Amri. Ha, Kamandi Yomar, yesh oinus begitten. The second Lashon, which says it's not a good get, even though he didn't give a tarkava, it's going like the Mandi Yomar in Ksubis, as Rashi says, Bishmaitza Kamaisa, in the first sugya over there in Ksubis, Daf Beza Mebez, of Yesh Oinus Begitten, and therefore it is not a good get. And the first Lashon here of Rabbi Yosef, who expects him to bring the Tarkava, and even though it's an Oinus, ain't Oinus begetten. Hakam on the Omer, ain't Oinus begetten. That's going according to the Mandi Omer, that ain't Oinus begetten. We don't consider Oinus a mitigating factor by getten, and therefore the halach is that it is a good get. Continues the next Mishnah, this Mishnah and the subsequent Mishnayis have nothing to do with Gittin per se, but they're connected to the Mishnah that we learned before in Daf Chav Ches, where the Shliach relies on a Chazakah when he gives the get, that the husband, who's the Mishaleich of the get, is still alive when the get is presented to the wife. So the Mishnah there brought up the union of Chazakah, and the next two Mishnayos are going to discuss Chazakah as well concerning inyonim that have to do with the Matnas Kahuna and Leviya and Maaser Ani. Begins the Mishnah. Hamal v'moises ha-kohen v'sa levi v'sa ani. If somebody lent money to a kohen or to a levi or to an ani, Liyois mafrish alei and michalkon, and the deal was that how would the Yisrael get repaid for his loan, that when it came time to be mafrish truma to the kayin, or it came time to be mafrish meiser to the levi, or the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, it came time to be mafrish meiser ani to the ani, what he would do, he would be mafrish, the truma, the meiser, and the Meiser Ani, but then instead of giving it to the Kohen Levi or the Ani, he would keep it for himself, and the Chachamim allowed this repayment of a debt because they wanted to make it easily available for Aniyim and for the Kohanim Leviim to receive loans from Yisraelim, and therefore, if this was the deal that the Yisrael made with the Kohen Levi or the Ani, it was an acceptable method of repayment of the loan. Now, of course, in the case of Truma, which is Asur L'Zarim, the Yisrael would not be able to eat the Truma, which was mafresh for the Kohen, but he would be able to sell it. In the case of Meiser, he would first have to give Truma's Meiser to a Kohen. That's the Levi's chelik, a tenth of a tenth, he gives to the Kohen, that the Yisrael will have to give. Once he's given Trumas Meiser to the Kohen, then Meiser itself, Meiser Rishon, is Mutter Lazarim. The Yisrael is allowed to eat it, and therefore he could then eat this Meiser, which he's using as a repayment of his loan. And by Meiser Ani, he can eat it. There, it's also Mutter Lazarim. And if he made this deal with the Ani, he's able to eat the Meiser Ani and take it for himself. Says the Mishnah, Hamal v'moises ha-kohen v'sa levi v'sa ani, liyois mafrish alei michalkon, that when he's going to be mafrish their matonis, he's going to use it to repay this loan. So now the question is the kohen who he made the loan to, is that person still alive? Because if he's not alive, then he cannot use it as repayment of the debt, because he's not giving it to the Kohen. The way it works here is that when he's mafresh it, he's giving it to the Kohen. Exactly how this works, we'll see in the Gemara, three different ways. But it's considered like he's giving it to the Kohen, and the Kohen is giving it back to him. But if the Kohen is not alive anymore, then he's not giving it to the Kohen, or to the Levi, or to the Ani for that matter. So therefore the Mishnah says, Mafrish lem b'cheska shen kayamin, ve'ein achoyshe shema meisa koin oy olevi, oy hesher ani. He gives it, he's mafrish it with the understanding, with the chazaka, the status quo, that the koin is still alive, the levi is still alive, the ani is alive, plus the ani has not become rich, and therefore he really has an obligation to give it to the koin, to give it to the levi, to give it to the ani. And instead of giving it to them, he's keeping it as a payment for his debt. Meisu, but what happens if he knows that they died? Then, Sorach Litol Rishus Mani Yarshim. Then he has to receive permission from the Yarshim. As Rashi explains, because the Yorshim are not obligated to pay the choiv of their father. It's only a mitzvah because of Kibbud Av that they would pay up the debts of their father, but there's no obligation, and therefore the only way that the Yisrael can keep these matanos for himself as repayment for the loan is only if he gets reshus from the Yorshim that they actually do want to repay the loan. Then he can go ahead with the method of repayment of the loan that he had established at the time when their father was still alive. Says the Mishnah, Im Hilvam b'fnei Bezdin. However, if he did this in front of Bezdin originally, then Ein Tzarich L'Rishus Min HaYarshim. Then he does not have to take permission from the Yarshim, as Rashi explains, because the last Rashi on the Mishnah, let's see it inside, the Yesh Kayach L'Bezdin L'Hatel Chayv Zeh Al Kolakun of Alavia L'Fi Shetak Kanosim Hu Sheyimtzu Mois Lavo. Be since the Chachamim were interested that the Oni and the Kayin and the Levi should be able to easily acquire loans from the Israel, they wanted these loans to be frequent, and therefore they established this method of repayment. And therefore, if it was done in front of Bezdin with the Koyach of Bezdin, there's no need to take Rishus from the Yarshim, but rather it's a Choyv on the entire Shevet, on the Kohanim, all the Kohanim, all the Levim, all the Aniyim, and therefore this is a viable method of repayment, and it's not something specific to the Yorshim, but rather it's a choiv mutl on the whole Shevet, and therefore even if the father here died, it's considered an obligation that all Levim and all Kohanim and all Aniyim have to this person, and therefore he can use it as a method of repayment even without taking permission from the specific Yorshim of the Kohen Levi or Oni that he had originally lent the money to. Begins the Gemara, are you saying at the Reish of the Mishnah that he can make this method of payment by holding back the Truma, the Meiser, and the Meiser Oni, the Afal Gavdol Yosel Yodei, even though it never came into the hands, the Truma never came into the hand of the Kohen, the Meiser never came into the hand of the Levi, the Meiser Oni never came into the hand of the Oni, just by making Hafrosha alone, it's considered as if it came into the Kohen and the Levi and the Oni's hands, and they gave it back into the hands of the Yisrael. How does that work? Doesn't the Kohen have to make a Kinyan and then give it back to the Yisrael? So we have three terutzim to this question, and Rashi adds is another point. Why does he have to give it specifically to this Kohen? Maybe a different Kohen. And how is the Yotze, Rashi says, V'heich Yotze Yedei Nesina? First of all, why is this Kohen Zoich in it more than any other Kohen? And secondly, there's an Indian of Venasan, he has to give it to them. Where was the Mekayim giving it to them? So we have three truths to these questions. Amar Rav, Rav answers, Makare Kunu Levi. We're speaking about where the Kohen and the Levi and the Oni are his good friends for many years, and therefore Rashi explains that all the other Kohanim and Levim, the other Aniyim, are miyayish from getting it, and as the stipler in his Kilas Yaakov Zatzal explains, that even though usually just by them being miyayish, there is no kinyan. But here, since we say that this is really a chiyuv to the whole shevet of Kohanim and of Leviyah, by them being miyayich, it's as if the whole shevet consisted of this one Kohen or this one Levi. Normally, you have to make a kinyan to the Kohen, give it to him, because why are you giving it to this Kohen over any other Kohen? What makes it more this Kohen than the other Kohen, and therefore you have to make a Kinyan? However, where the others are Miyayish, then it's as if there's only one Kohen in the world, and therefore there's no need for an Nesina or a formal Kinyan, a formal acquisition. So that's the first way that it works. So it's considered as if the Kohen, Levi, and the Oni did receive it in their hands, and that they subsequently gave it back, even though none of that happened. But halachically, in this particular situation, makore kohuna, that's considered the way it took place. Ushmul Omer Shmuel gives a second answer. But mizak lemaydeh cherim, that ain't a chanami, he didn't give it directly to the kohen Levi or the Yoni, but he was zoche to them through someone else, a middleman. He says, I'm making a kinyan with you. You're being kohenet on behalf of the kohen. And then the person that he makes the kinyan with on behalf of the kohen, behalf of the Levi, behalf of the Yoni, he gives it back to the Yisrael, and that's the way it works. The third teretz, Ulam or Hamani Rabbi Yossi. Who's this Mishnah going like Rabbi Yossi? The Omar that Rabbi Yossi said, Asu Hashem Zoicha Kezoicha, that we find in numerous places through Shas, as Rashi enumerates in the first wide lines, that certain people who normally are not Zoicha, when it came to Takanas of the Chachamim, so whenever the Chacham had a Takana in mind, like in our Gemara, where they want to make sure that the Aniyim have adequate supply of loans, so they took a person who's normally not Zoche, and they said, you are going to be Zoche. So here, they made it as if the Kohen did receive it and gave it back to the Yisrael, even though that never actually took place. And now the Gemara wants to know why each of the Terutzim here does not hold of the other Terutz. Kula Karav Le'amri, Shmuel and Ula do not hold like Rav, who said, speaking about Makari Kohuna, because of Makari Lektani. It doesn't say in the Mishnah anything about Makari. Therefore, let's not make the Mishnah speaking about that this specific Kayan was a good friend of the Yisrael. Kishmuel like Amri, Ula and Rav do not say like Shmuel, because Bimizaka Lektani. It doesn't say in our Mishnah that there's a third party here. Keula namely Ami Rav, and Shmuel didn't say like Ula that it's going like Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because ki yichidol loy mekmina. We don't want to make our Mishnah like a das yachid of Rabbi Yossi, because the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yossi. Tosfos points out in the third Tosfos Divrei Maskil ki yichidol loy mekmina. Even though that Shmuel himself in Bava Metzia and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph paskins like this yichidol like Rabbi Yossi. So what would be wrong if Shmuel would say, like Ula, that it's taka going like Rabbi Yossi? So Tosfos answers that Shmuel, even though he passes like Rabbi Yossi, would rather say a pshat where we could learn the Mishnah according to everybody. We don't want to bring the Mishnah into a machlaikas. Let's say it's according to everybody. If you say Shmuel's pshat of mezak lamayidei acherim, then it'll work according to the Rabbanan also, even though Shmuel lamaisa paskins like Rabbi Yossi. Tana Rabbanan, we now are going to learn a brisa that elaborates on the dinim of our Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, Hamal v'moises ha-kayin v'salevi v'sa'ani, liyos ma'afrishol le'michalkin. If somebody lent money to a kayin or a levi or an ani, so that when it comes the time to give truma ma'aser or ma'aser ani, he's going to set that aside, and that will serve as payment for the loan. So the din is mafresh olam becheska shen kayamin. So he doesn't even know if they're still alive, but he can be mafresh based on the chazaka that they are still alive, and he owes it to them, and therefore they are giving it back to him as a peroyan for the chov that they have received from him. Upoisek imoim kishar hazoyol, and he's allowed to make up at the time of the loan that, for example, if I am lending you 100 zuz, and at the time of the loan for 100 zuz you can get 10 kor of grain, and now when it comes the time of afrasha for 100 zuz you can get 15 kor of grain. So I'm basically getting back the same amount of money as I lent. So I'm allowed to say that if it's this money, if wheat will go down and the money that I lent you will now acquire more, I'm able to get not 10 kor back, but I'm able to get 15 kor back as the 100 zuz is worth at the time of hafrash of separation. Another halacha, a separate halacha, ve'ein by mishum ribbis. There is no issue here of ribbis midrabbanan, because normally if I lend you money to get repaid with produce, or I lend you produce to get repaid with produce, and I say that I want it returned in the example that we were giving, that for 100 zuz, you can acquire 10 kur. The only problem is that at the time of the afrasha, which will be the time of repayment, 100 zuz will only acquire 8 kur. So if I'm going to give you back the 10 kur, it'll come out that because you lent me money, it'll come out that you will be receiving, if I give you back 10 kor, you're going to be receiving back a value that is worth more than 100 zuz. And this is considered ribis midrabbanan. The only time this is permitted is if there is a shar, Rashi brings down on the fourth wide line, be'inon achiyetzei shar. If the market value has already been pronounced, and we know what that market value is, then I am allowed to do such a transaction, even midrabbanan. But if there is no market value, I'm not allowed to do it. It's also ribis midrabbanan. And yet over here, as the Gemara will explain why, there is no problem of doing this in this repayment of the loan by keeping that which is mafresh. There's no problem of ribis midrabbanan. And the next halacha, all of these halachas will be explained further in the Gemara explaining each case. The next thing concerning this special repayment of a loan, the ain shvis misham tosa, and in a year of Shemitah, where normally, unless one writes a prosbul, by the end of the Shemitah year, it is mishamate. The malva cannot collect his debt from the lova, but in this situation of our Mishnah, Shemitah will not cause the malva to lose the loan. He will be able to repay himself by keeping back that which he was mafrish. V'im bolatzer ein chayzer. And if he wants to renege on this deal, he's not allowed to be chayzer. Gemara will explain who is reneging on the deal. Is it the Yisrael or is it the Kayit? Then the Bryce continues, Nishna Yeshua Bailim, as Rashi explains. Let's say if there was a dry wind, and it ruined all the crops, and the Bailim were miyash that he's going to grow crops on this property, and he therefore thinks he'll never get back his repayment of the loan. And by the way, a constant halacha throughout these halachas is that the only place, once he goes into this deal with the Kohen Levi Aryani, the only place that he can be goyva his loan from is from that which he's going to be mafresh in the future by holding it back and not giving it to the Kohen. He cannot collect the loan from any other asset of the Kohen Levi or Ani. So now, Nisyaishu Abilim, Ein Mafresh Aleim. Then, when it comes time to Afrasha, he cannot say, okay, I'm being mafresh it. And let's say Hashem helped, that although it looked like he's going to lose all his crops, a miracle happened, and the crops did grow. So still, once he was miyayish, the Ktsois brings a proof from here, that it's Shaykh Yush HaNechoyv. The Gerish Yerachim disagrees with this raya because he says, as we mentioned before, here Yiyush helps because the only place that you can be goyved alone is from this type of holding back on that which you're going to be mafresh. But this is no proof to a regular loan. So he disagrees with the choice. But the halacha lemaisa is that if the Baal were miyayish, and even though later the field in fact produced crops, he cannot be mafresh aleihem. Why? Lefishe mafresh nalavet. Once the loan is lost because he gave up that he'll ever get repayment on the loan, then it's considered as if the lova has no obligation to pay back the loan, and therefore the malva has a obligation to give his truma. And he's not allowed to hold it back for repayment of a loan because he was miyayish. And for whatever reason, Yiyush helps on the chov. And therefore, he'll have to give the truma to a kayin and the maisa to a levi and the maisa ani to an ani. Amar mar, we learned before in the braisa, now we go and explain each din. Paisa gimorim gishar zov, freid gimor pshita, as Rashi says, that we find in Perek Eitz Neshech Bava Metzia, that by any malven loiva, he's allowed to say that if the hundred zuz that I'm giving you can get for me 15 kor at the time of the repayment of a loan instead of 10, I'm getting back the same value of 100 zuz that I gave you, so then I want to get paid back according to the cheaper price of wheat. What should be the problem? It works all over. So the more answers, what it's teaching you here is that afal pishaloi pasak, even though he didn't stipulate that, but we say kemisha pasak dami, it's considered as if he has made up that I want to get repaid kishar hazol, that if the wheat is going to be worth less, I'm going to get more for the same amount of money, even though I didn't specify it. Part of this arrangement of repayment of the loan is that I will get it back at the cheaper value. Then we learned v'ein by mishum ribis, my time out. Now here the Gemara wants to know why, in fact, is there no ribis rabban? Normally, as we learned, that if the market price has not been set yet, this would constitute a problem of ribis rabbanon. So the Gemara answers the reason why there's no ribis rabbanon here in this arrangement is because kiven the chilas lelo yovle. If the loiva has nothing to pay, and let's say, like we learned, if the field doesn't bear any crops, so the malva is not going to be able to get it from any other asset of a loiva. The only one asset he can get it from is this field. And if the field doesn't produce, and it's korev to have as the schar, we don't know if he's going to have good crops. He's not going to have good crops. So therefore, it's not considered that there's vade going to be ribis over here. And therefore, ki islay, even if it does turn out that the field does give crops, but had the field not give crops, he would have lost everything. So he's taking like a 50-50 percent chance of getting his loan repaid or not. So ki islay nami ein by mishum ribis. Therefore, in such a situation where it's not definite that he's going to make more money at the end, that is not considered ribis, even midirabbanan. The next halacha that we learned is ve'en shvius misham tahasoi, that there is no halacha that shmiyat will nullify this loan. Why? The loy karinim be loy yigoyis. Because the only time there's halacha of shvius is if the loan would be able to be pressed. The malva could press the loiva for the loan. But since this is a loan where the malva cannot press the loiva, as we explained, because the only one place to get it is by holding back these crops after he was mafresh them. There's no other asset of the loiva that the malva can garner his repayment from. So therefore, that's not called in the category of loyigois, and therefore the whole parsha of Shemitah does not imply. Then we learned v'imbo lachzer in a chayzer. If he wants to have charata, he's not able to have charata. Amra papa loyshanu ela baal habayis b'koyit. This is only speaking about the baal habayis, that he cannot have charata from the koyit, and he cannot say, "I want to get out of this deal. I'm going to give this truma to whoever I want to give it to, but I want you to pay me back the loan regularly." Avol koyin bebaal habayis, but if the koyin says that I want to get out of the deal and I'm going to pay you regularly, but I want you to pay up and give the truma, in bolachzer chayzer, if he wants to renege on the deal, he is able to renege on the deal. This nam, because we learned in a mishnah bava metzia, nasan loymoyes, if the loykeach gave the money to the moyach of loy mashik, but the loykeach did not make mashik on that which he was buying. He was not Moshech the Paris. The halacha is Yochel Lachzer Boy. The Moicher can have Charata. As long as no Mashiach was made, the Moicher can have Charata. So Tosfos brings down here, we really have to understand, if in fact no Mashiach has been made here, what it comes out here is that the Malva is giving money to the loiva, and with that, according to their arrangement, he is going to be getting the payers once he's mafresh them. Now, there is nothing for him to make mashiach on, because he's considered the loikeach. The malva is considered the loikeach. The lova, the kayin, the levi, the ani is considered the moicher. So money was given. That's the money of the loan, which will serve as the money of the transaction of buying the peiros. But no meshicha was made because the truman meiser is not even here. So therefore, as far as the loikeach is concerned, he has given the money, and he's locked into the deal. Now, Tosfos explains, based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia, that we can understand this piece of Gemara based on a machlokes we have in a Mishnah there in Daf Mem Dal between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. When we say that when mois is given, a meshich is not made, that yachol lachzer, by who can have charata? The Rabbanan hold both the moicher and the lekeach can have charata. Whereas Reb Shimon says, no, the only one who can have charata is the moicher. Because when he gets the money from the lekeach, and the lekeach has not yet made meshicha, then yodoy al yoyna. He has now the merchandise, the peiros, and he has the money. He has everything. So he can talk have charata. But according to Reb Shimon, the lekeach in such a situation cannot have charata. So according to Reb Shimon, our Gemara is excellent, that the loikeach, the malva, once he gave the money, he cannot back out. And the moicher, however, the loiva, the kayin, the levi or the yoni, they can back out because they're in the driver's seat. Yodi al yoina, they have the money and they have the rights to the merchandise. So they can back out, but the malva, the Lekeach cannot back out. But Taisa says that even according to the Chachamim, it will also work out. Why? So Taisa says that since the Malva, the Lekeach, has no Tashlum, this is the common thought that goes throughout this whole sugi here, that he's only one place that he can collect from, and that is from the truma that there will be a frush on. Therefore, he cannot have charata, because if he'll have charata, it'll come out that the kohen will have to repay his debt in a normal way, and the whole deal to begin with, in which the moicher, excuse me, the lekeach, in which the malva is locked into, is that he can only collect it from one place, and that is by holding back the matana of the truma to the kohen. So therefore, if we're going to let him renege on that deal, it'll come out that we're going to allow him to collect from the kohen, not only from the truma, from elsewhere, and the deal was that it's only going to be from the truma. So that's why here, even the chachamim are moide that the lekeach in this situation cannot back out. Continues the Gemara explaining the next din that we learned in the Brice. Nisiyashu abaylim, if the baal rumiyash, ey mafrish aleyen, lefishe mafrish alavet, frey the Gemara pshita. So the Gemara says, like tzricha de akoin. Rashi explains, this comes from the word of kana, that there were crops that grew on the kana. So, ma'o, the same, akana sam milsahi, as Rashi explains, I would say that this is a very weak yish, because he saw that the crops were starting to rejuvenate, even though there had been a warm, hot wind that seemed to destroy all the crops, but yet there was some, vegetation on the kana, and usually Rashi says, milsle shchicha, who sheyehem eskalkin legamri v'loy have a yush ma'aliyah. That's what I would have thought, that this is a weak yush. And if it's a weak yush, then at the end, when the crops did manage to come into bloom, then maybe we should go back to the original deal, and he should be able to collect the choy from keeping back the peiros of the matanais. Kamash malon, that since he was meyayish, we don't say it's a weak yush, it's a good yush, and therefore his loan is nullified, he has nowhere else to collect the loan from, and therefore he has to give the trum and the meiser and the meiser ani as regular, and he cannot hold it back. Tanya, we learned in a Braiser. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Hamal v'moises ha-koin v'salevi be-bezdin. This is going on the last case in the Mishnah, when it is done in front of Bezdin, Umesu. And then the Kohen or the Levi died, Mafresh Olein, Becheskas Oisoi Hashevet. He can give it to, he can be Mafresh and hold it back in the Chazak of that Shevet. Now, in the Mishnah, the last Rashi in the Mishnah, we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah, Rashi says that Yesh Koich LeBezdin L'Hatel Choyv Zal Kol Hakuna V'Aleviyah. In Rashi, in the Gemara, the last Rashi on this Amud, the second last Rashi on the Amud, Rashi doesn't make it blanket to the whole Shevet, but Rashi says to the Yoresh, who's the closest to him, from that Shevet. Shahakorav lemba oisya Shevet, Roy liyarsham. So there seems to be a little contradiction between Rashi in the Mishnah and Rashi in the Gemara. In fact, the Rajban, the Balamor Shita, is that not only would, in front of Bezdin, would this Chiv be on the whole Shevet, but even on those Yorshim, which are not Kohanim. For example, a Kohen's daughter married a Yisrael. They had a son, so that son has a Halacha of Yisrael, but he's a grandson of a Kohen. So even to him, there would be the chov of having to repay this loan, and Mimela, the Yisroel, could be mafrish and hold back the truma for a repayment of his loan once it's done in front of Bezdin. Continues the Gemara, Ve'es Oni, if he lent it to an Oni, and he did it in front of Bezdin, Umeis, and then the Oni died, mafrish olav, becheskes ani Yisroel, he could be mafrish Meiser Ani, based on the Chazaka of Aniye Yisrael. So Rashi says, here we can't say the Yorshim, because the Yorshim of the Ani could be, in fact, Ashirim. But it means there are other Aniyim, and they are happy that there should be, the last line of Rashi says, all Aniyim are happy there should be this Halacha, Kidei Sheyimtsu Melavim Lem Kishitstarchu. They know, okay, good. If there's a loan made to us, then we, as the Aniye Yisrael, have to repay this loan. And therefore, the Malva can always use it, the Maaser Ani, as a method of repaying his loan. But if he knows he's guaranteed he's going to get a repayment through the Maaser Ani, that is mutal on all the Aniyim, so that will help us to procure loans. So they're happy with this arrangement. And therefore, Rashi says, it's not considered as if you're stealing from the Aniyim. Last Rashi on the last words of Rashi on the Omid, Lav Goizelas Animu, because they're maskim to this arrangement. So Mimele, even if this particular Ani dies, it becomes a Chiyiv if it was done originally in front of Bezdin on all the Anim of Klal Yisrael. So he uses the Lashon of Becheskes Ani Yisrael, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Achi Oimer, Becheskes Ani Oilam, Chazak of the Anim of the world. Now the way Rashi learns, as the Meforshim explain, Aniye Oila means not Aniyim living in another part of the world, but it means the Aniyim of the world who are questionable Jews, but we're going to say that they're considered Jews also. My Benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two sheets of Lezben Yaakov and Achi, as we turn to Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Eke Benayu, the difference is Aniye Kusim, learns Rashi, if you have in a city Kusim were the people who were transported to Eretz Yisrael by Sancheiriv, and they were made into Gerim because they were afraid of getting devoured by lions that were attacking them. And there's a question whether their Gerus is a bona fide Gerus or not. So the nafkamina between Rav Elazar and Yaakov Rav Achi will be in a case where this city where the Malva is at has only Aniyim Kusim. So, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, you have to be mafreshit. The obligation falls to repay the loan on Aniye Yisrael. And Kusim are Geri Aroyois. They're Gerim based on lions. They're not real Gerim. Therefore, they're not considered Jews. And therefore, you cannot do it on the people in that city. You're going to have to do it on Ani Yisrael who live elsewhere, the way Rashi learns. However, according to Rav Achi, these are Ani Yoylam, they're questionable, but we come out that they're considered Geirei Emes, and therefore you could do it for the Anim in this city. The Pnei Yeshua explains that according to Rashi, the whole Nafkamina is what the Malva will have in mind on whom the chayv will be to repay this loan that he's making to this particular ani. Will it be by the aniye kusim or this city that they are considered geirei emes, or will it be by aniye yisrael or living elsewhere? Tosfos says that that's not considered a real nafgamina, and therefore Tosfos has a klal that he can only do it based on the anim living in that city. And in that city, there were only aniye kusim, and memeila is a big nafgamina lalach. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it has to be becheskes aniye yisrael. And therefore, in this case, in fact, he, even though he's doing it in front of Bezdin, he will not be able to make the choiv to be repaid by Ani Yisrael, because they're Geri Aroyas to Kusim, and you could only do it on the Anim of this city. And therefore, later on, when this Ani dies, there is no repayment by any other Ani, and therefore he loses his Chov, and he has to give Truma regularly to a Koyin. He has to give a Meiser Ani to another Ani. However, according to Rav Achi, that Aniye Kusim are also considered Aniye Yisrael, and even though he has to give it to the Anim of this city, it is considered a Choyv Mutl on Aniye Kusim, and therefore he can be Yotze giving Maaser Ani by collecting his loan as a repayment, because it is considered a Chov on the Aniye Kusim, who are considered Aniye Yisraelim, and therefore he can use this arrangement to receive back his original loan. He doesn't lose his original loan. That's the way Tosfos learns. Hesher, what happens if the Ani became rich? Hesher Ani ain't mafresh olav. Then he can't be mafresh. So then, by becoming rich, he has nullified this whole arrangement, because it was only done, I can get repaid if I separate and want to give you to Maaser Ani, and you will turn around and be giving it back to me, but I can't give it to you because you became rich. And here the rich man becomes even richer, because he has no obligation, as we explained many times in the sugya, the only place that you can get the loan repaid from is from that Maaser Ani that he was supposed to be mafresh. But now that the Malva was not supposed to be mafresh to Maaser Ani, to this Ani, because this Ani is rich, therefore the Malva cannot go and receive payment for his original loan from any other place. Therefore, the Ani who became rich doesn't have to repay it. Rabbanon, Freyti Gemara, Maishna le Misa Dovetakanta, Maishna la Shirus le Loyavetakanta. Why is it that concerning Misa, the Rabbanon made a takana that the Choyv is now placed on all other Aniyim? However, le Gabi Ashirus, they didn't say that the Choyv is placed on other Ashirim. If you're concerned that Ashirim will not want to give out loans unless they know they're going to get repayment, and that's why by Misa you made a takana that the Chiv is on all Aniyim, and as we said from Rashi, they're happy to make this arrangement so they know they'll be able to get easily loans, why don't we do the same thing for when the Ani became an Asher, and we say there that the Malva loses out repayment of his loan? The Gemara answers, Misa Shchicha. It's a Shchich thing for death. Ashir is le Shchicha. For an Ani to become an Asher is something not Shchich, and therefore the Rabbanim were not worried about it, that this is something that the Asher will stop giving loans, because the Malva will not give loans because maybe this Ani will become an Asher. That's a Mitzvah Shchich. Amra Papa, Haina Damrinchi. That's what people say. Chavra Chamis, your friend died. Asher, believe it. Rashi says, Miloshin Sharir Hakol Shar Vakayim. It's Asher. It's a believable thing. Strengthen that thought. That's very possible. Amra is Asher, that if he tells you your Ani friend became a rich man, Loita Asher, that is something that you don't have to believe, because that's a Milsa Deloy Shchich. Then the Mishnah says, Meis, that if the Ani died, certainly the Rishos, he has to get permission from the Yarshim, because they don't have a chiv to pay back the loan of their father. It's only if they're willing to pay back the loan of their father, then the original repayment method of holding back the Matnas Kohen and Levia will go into effect. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Yarshin Sheyarshin. It's only Yarshin that inherit. Ask the Gemara, Miyaki Yarshin Lo Yarsi. Are there then inheritors who don't inherit? What do you mean by that statement? Elon Rabbi Yochanan, Sheyarshu Karka Veloy Sheyarshu Ksafim. What we mean to say is that they have to Yarshin a property and not that they Yarshin Kesef. And here we have a machlokes between Tosfos versus the Rashba and the Ramban. Tosfos in Divrei HaMaschil, Tanya, Rebbe, Omer, Yarshin, Sheyarshu. Tosfos says that this is going on the Seifa. The Seifa of the Mishnah says that if you were Malva in front of Bezdin, you don't have to get Rishus from the Yarshim. So that is where Tosfos is going in the Sheet of Rashi that we learned on Amud Aleph, that the Shevet takes over, not the whole Shevet, but the Yarshim, the closest inheritors of the mace, get this chayv upon them, and therefore the repayment method of Hafrasha, keeping that which you're separating, goes into effect. And so Tosfos learns like Rashi, in it's not on the whole Shevet, it's on those Yarshim, and therefore that's why the Gemara says that when do we say that din, that if it's done in front of Bezdin, that it goes the chiyuv to the Yarshim, that's only if they Yarshin Karka, but not if they Yarshin Metalton. But concerning the Resha, where you need Rishus from the Yarshim, where it wasn't done in front of Bezdin. So there, if the Yarshim give Rishus, that could help even if it was on, even if the Yarshin Metaltalin. And if the Yarshim don't give Rishus, then it doesn't even help if the Yarshin Karka. So Tosfos says that it's not going to Resha, it's going to Seifa. However, the Rashba and the Ramban, they learn the opposite. They learn it's going under Resha. That when does Netilas Rishus help? That's only if the Yarshim Yarshin Karka. And in the Seifa, where it's done in front of Bezdin, then they learn, not like Rashi and Amidav, they learn that it's not a choiv on the Yorshim of the Shevet, but it's a choiv on the entire Shevet, not just on the closest relative. Memela in the Sefer, where it's not on the closest relative, on the whole Shevet, even those who don't Yarshin, it doesn't matter what the Yorshim Yarshin from their father, Kark or Metaltlan, because the choiv, according to these Rishonim, is not like Rashi said on Amidav, on the Korav from the Mishpacha of the Shevet. No, it's on the entire Shevet. According to that, there's no nafkamina what the specific personal yarshim of the nifter yarshin. The nafkamina will be in the resha where it's not done in front of Bezdin. It doesn't go over to the whole shevet. Then it's a question of the yarshim themselves. So there, if they give rishus and the yarshin karka, then you're able to proceed with this repayment schedule of holding back the payrus of Trum, etc. This will not work according to these Rishonim if all the Yarshin is Metaltalin. Amar Rabbi Yonason, since there's an element here of Kark involved, Heniach Moli Machad, if he left a needle point of a Karka, which means a small amount of Karka, Goyva Moli Machad, then all that he can collect through this repayment schedule is a small amount of a Moli Machad. But Moli Kardim, if he got a big property in Yerusha, like an axe that represents a large amount, Goyva Moli Kardim, then they can collect a Moli Kard, then he, the Malva, can collect a Moli Kardim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afili Niach Moli Machad, even if all he left over was a small amount of Karka, Goyva Moli Kardim, he can collect a large amount. Ukamaisa the Katina Dabai, where do we find that a small amount of Karka enabled someone to collect a large amount? So Rashi brings down the Gemara Ksubas of Tzadik Aleph Amid Beis that there was a case where Reuven lent Shimon 100 zizi, and Shimon died. He left over a small plot of land that was worth 50 zuz. The Baal Chayv came and grabbed away for his Chayv that plot of land. The Yisayimim came and they paid 50 zuz to get it back, and then the malva came and collected it once again for the remaining 50 zuz that he was owed. And so under certain circumstances, even a small piece of karka could satisfy a large loan more than it's worth. So to hear, says Rabbi Yochanan, that yes, you need karka, but once you have the karka, this repayment schedule could work even for a larger amount of payris than the small piece of karka that was left over. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. Yisrael, Shomer LeLevi, Meiser, Yesh Chabiyadi, Yisrael said to LeLevi, you have Meiser in my hands, Ein Choshen LeTrumas, Meiser Shaboy. We're not worried that the Levi will use the, let's say there's one kur of Meiser, he's not going to separate that one kur on nine other kur. The reason is because the Yisrael didn't tell him how much Meiser he has. So even if he has in another place nine kur of Tvua, and he'll say to himself, okay, I'll take this one kur, and it'll be one-tenth. Trumas Meiser is a tenth of a tenth that I have to give to the Kohen, and I'll be yoitze with what this person owes me in Meiser. But he doesn't know how much. The person didn't say how much. So we're not worried that he was mafresh Trumas Meiser. But let's say he said, kur Meiser yesh chobiyadi, you have a kur Meiser in my hand. Choshen l'trumas Meiser, then we are choshesh. My kamar. So the Gemara is not clear exactly what is meant by this halacha. Amar Abaye hachi kamar. This is what he's saying. Yisrael shamal l'levi. Yisrael said to a levi, Meiser yesh chobiyadi. You have Meiser, I owe you Meiser. V'helich damav. Just like we learned that I can use the Meiser as a method of lending you money and getting repaid for the loan, so too, I can tell you in advance that I want to buy the Meiser from you. I owe you Meiser. Here's money. I'm paying for the Meiser. You keep the money and I'll keep the Meiser. Ein chayshin shemasoi, trumas Meiser al makam achar. We're not afraid that maybe he made a trumas Meiser elsewhere. And the reason is, as we explained before, because the Levi doesn't know how much the Meiser is. But if he said specifically, kur Meiser yesh chobiyadi, v'helich tamav, and here's the money, then choshen shema soy trumas Meiser, al makam achar. In fact, maybe the Levi made it, trumas Meiser, he took this one kur on nine other kur and made it a one-tenth that he owes to the Kohen. So, Rashi says that when did the Levi, or choshen the Levi did this? After he received the money, he made it into trumas Meiser. And Rashi has the problem, once he received the money, and then it goes to the Yisrael. The deal was, I'm giving you money, I get the Meiser. How, with what authority does the Levi then have to make the Meiser into Trumas Meiser? The Yisrael already paid for it. So Rashi says that since Mashiach was not made, and the Levi, as we learned before in Amud Aleph, could have, in such a case, Charata, so even though it's in the Rishus of the Yisrael, the money did not make a Kinyan. So therefore, if the Levi wants to have Charata and make it into Trumas Meiser, it would be Trumas Meiser. But Tosfos does not like that, because since, as the Rashba explains, that since we learned on Amud Aleph three ways in which the Yisrael is Yoytze Nesina to the Koyin, or the Le, in this case the Levi, either through be mezaka yidayacher or makire kuna, or it's going according to Rabbi Yossi that they, because of the takana to make loans available, they gave it to an ein zoicha like a zoicha. But whatever way you learn, in this case, it's considered as if the Levi received the meiser from the Yisrael. If so, once he receives it, then it's considered that it's given back to the Yisrael. He is, once the Levi receives it completely, then he gives it back. So the question comes back, how could the Levi then make it from a Meiser? That's why Tosfos explains, no, we're Choshesh before the money was given. The moment he said, I have Meiser that I have to give you, that moment the Levi said, you know what, I want to make this for Trumas Meiser. Maybe went to the side and said before he received the money from the Yisrael. That's how Tosfos learns. Ask the Gemara. Atu b'rishiyaskinen, the shakli d'meh, they took money, umashalei trumas maiser, to make a trumas maiser. Now, Rashi learned that he actually gave the money. According to Tosfos, Tosfos has difficulty with this word shakli, and Tosfos says that it means that even before he took the money, he made it trumas maiser. Is that possible? Are we speaking about Rishoyim? El on Ramashash Red Ravidi. He tries a second teretz. Hachi Komar. This is shot in the Brisa. Yisrael Sharma Leben Levi. Yisrael said to the son of a Levi, Maiser Levicha B'yadi. I have Maiser of your father in my hand, which means, as Rashi explains, that before your father died, while he was alive, I told him that I have Maiser. Hey, look, Dom, if he gives the money to the son, I want to buy it from you. Ain't Choshen Shem Asoy Aviv Trumas Maiser Makamachor. We're not afraid that the father made a Trumas Maiser on other nine core of Trumas Meiser that he was obligated to give to the Kohen, that he was obligated to give one core out of 10, and he used this one core to pay off the Trumas Meiser to the Kohen. We're not worried about that, but it, because he doesn't know how much the Meiser was. But if he says to the son, you know what I told your father, Kur Meiser Levicha B'yadi, I told him it was a Kur, the Heilech Domev, and here's money, Choshen Shem Asoy off of Trumas Meiser Makamach, then we are Choshen that the father made a Trumas Meiser on other Tvua someplace else. Ask the Gemara. This is also a difficult pshat in the Brisa. Why? Because v'chinech shedu chaveirim litram shleiman amokev. Here we're speaking of chaveirim. These are people who are medaktik in the din. And the din is that you can only make truma on tevel. When it's all together, it's all connected together. Rashi says, you cannot make truma here on peiros someplace else. It's like a gzeira, because who knows, maybe the peiros that you want to make it on aren't around anymore. And if they're not around anymore, then the truma that you're making is meaningless. It remains tevel. So chaverim don't do that. There's an issur, the Gemara tells us in Beit, of lamed beis, lamed beis. Also, l'chaver loimer tvu sheishli b'makom ployni to hey truma alzu. Why? As Rashi brings down, shema oisa shor. You wouldn't do it. Here we're speaking about chaverim, they wouldn't do it. Tosfos learns that in fact on truma it's a din d'oraisa, on trumas meiser, which our Gemara is speaking about, it's a gzeirim and rabban and atu the halacha of truma, which is a din d'oraisa that you need in a mokav. Anyway, the Gemara is asking, how could I learn this pshat in the b'raisa here? If you would learn such a pshat, it would be they would be over on the l'chatchil d'kadin that you're not supposed to give a truma or trumas meiser on peiros, which are in another place. So that l'chayra cannot be pshat in the b'raisa. In the b'siyata d'shmayin, tomorrow shir, we will see the final teretz of the Gemara of Rav Ashi of what the correct pshat is in this b'raisa. Thank you.